Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Playbreakers. I'm here with Q. My name is Tom. Gatto is currently on assignment right now. How you doing, Q?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing splendid. We're going to do a quick show for you all tonight. We are going to take a break from our divisional breakdown because, frankly, there's been a lot going on related to trades in the NFL free agency period. Seeing a lot of activity. Obviously, that happens after we record, so that's always a great feeling. Going to go through a couple of the initial ones, but I think the one that everybody wants to talk about is what the Steelers are doing at the quarterback position. They signed Russell Wilson to a league minimum deal and also traded for Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears on a wildly friendly Steelers trade. But they've also traded Deontay Johnson to Carolina as well. So Q, let's start with Russell Wilson, because I know that you had real thoughts of grandeur with him. So let's start with Russell Wilson. How are you feeling about that whole situation?
You're talking about Mr. Unlimited.
That's correct.
No, I mean, I actually, surprisingly enough, like you had kind of thrown it out there like, oh, why don't the Giants sign him? And I was like, fuck that bullshit. And then I really thought about it. I'm like, well, because Denver is pretty much on the hook for that contract for a lot of money, $85 million in dead cap. So honestly, he signed for $1.2 million, and like that was pretty much the standard of what we were expecting. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, not a bad move if the Giants were actually able to get him. And then, of course, he actually went to go visit the Giants before he went to Pittsburgh. And I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I think we all kind of felt like Pittsburgh was where he was going to go. It just made the most sense. They don't have, and like with Kenny Pickett there, Kenny Pickett's situation is very interesting, but we can get into that too. But it makes sense. Like both of these moves make a lot of sense to me from a Pittsburgh standpoint, because the reality is that when you're a team like the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, who just never has a season under 500, you really do need to like find different ways. Like you're never going to be picking in the top five. You're never going to be able to pick, you know, one of those guys. So like you need to find alternative ways to find your quarterback. And this is at least taking a stab in a direction. Like I think Russell Wilson was much better than people gave him credit for last year.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough team in Denver to begin with. And I think a lot of that falls on the shoulders of Sean Payton, but also the previous regimes that they've had there. The Russell Wilson signing is really interesting for me because I think this could be, somebody had mentioned this about a week ago. This could be like what happened with Kurt Warner when he left the Rams, signed with the Giants, wasn't a great year, and then went to Arizona and took that team to a Super Bowl. Like there are cases where there's a franchise quarterback that gets let go by his original team. He goes to another one, doesn't really work out, and then ends up on another team, and he's pretty good. Carson Palmer is probably another good example of that as well, but probably not as successful as, you know, one Kurt Warner. I'm interested. I'm curious. I'm really, prior to the news about Justin Fields getting traded to the Steelers, I was really curious to see how they were going to utilize him, just given Arthur Smith's offense, real run heavy. But I think this is probably a more competent coaching team that is going to be able to utilize him and maximize his strengths and kind of minimize his weaknesses. But all that kind of changed when Justin Fields was traded there for what, a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft, if I have that correct.
Yeah.
So Chicago effectively just gave him away.
There is something though the first thing with Arthur Smith, like I actually don't think it's a bad like combination with them, because I think having like, I mean, shit on Atlanta you want, right? And like I think his coaching decisions are bad sometimes, but he was a good OC in Tennessee, got a lot out of Ryan Tannehill, and was never really the same after he left. Derrick Henry had his best years under Arthur Smith. And as really as good, as bad as they were in Atlanta, like, they always had a top five run offense every single year. And guys like Tyler Algier, who was a fifth round pick, you know, he was really good. So, like, I think actually having that strong run first type of offense will actually make it easier for Russ. Kind of like with Seattle, those years that he was really good when he had, like, a really strong running game with Marshawn Lynch. So, could be good. But the Justin Fields thing is a little bit more interesting because the rumors that I'm seeing now, though, are that apparently they wanted to do right by Justin Fields, and they essentially took a lesser deal back to give him to the place he wanted to go. So apparently they were like, these are the teams interested, where would you want to go? And it was Pittsburgh, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because there's a good opportunity there. Russ is like, what, 34, 35?
He's around there, yeah.
He doesn't have like a ton of time left. So I think he wanted to be there with Mike Tomlin. And I think Arthur Smith also makes sense for Justin Fields too. So,
yeah, I mean, I think ultimately I'm curious to see how this season plays out for the two of them, because both of them have been starters in the league. Their numbers the last couple of years have not been great.
Yeah.
On like, when terms of like quarterback wins and things like that. And that's not necessarily a QB stat, but
right.
I'm wondering if they're just hedging their bets on both of these guys to see, like, we're going to see what Russell Wilson has left, but Justin Fields can do all of the things that Russell Wilson can. He's also younger. He's a little bit taller, but he needs a little bit more refinement. And maybe they're looking at Russell Wilson with the idea like, okay, if it doesn't work out with him, at least we will have an experienced quarterback on the roster that can kind of take Justin Fields under his wing, because he never had that in Chicago and never really had that support structure there, and at least provide some mentoring and some guidance to Fields.
Yeah. I mean, the tough part for the Justin Fields situation, obviously, is that Fields is going to his fourth season. So that means they have to decide on his fifth year option this summer, which I imagine they're going to decline. But that was the reason why I kind of like, I thought about like, ooh, Justin Fields and the Giants would be interesting. Like, because if anybody could get anything out of him, I'm sure Brian Daboll could. His ability to throw on the run and things like that. But it just never made sense because, like, with Daniel Jones's contract, and then, like, now imagine Justin Fields has a good year. It's literally the Daniel Jones situation all over again, where it's like 1 year of production and you have to make a huge financial decision on them. Right. But for the Steelers, like, what were their other options? You know, like, you're stuck with Kenny Pickett for another year, or you take a chance on Russell Wilson for cheap and make an investment in Justin Fields. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think ultimately at the end of the year, Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback for them. Yeah. I mean, there's just too much talent there. Right. And I think they want to see what they'd be able to get out of him. I think, again, Russell Wilson's kind of a stopgap, and the Steelers were pretty opportunistic about waiting around for the price to drop for Fields. Which I want to talk about that a little bit, because it kind of surprised me how little people were willing to offer him. But they were willing to sign guys as quarterbacks for like large contracts. Gardner Minshew got a nice bag from Oakland, right? Is that where he is now?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Oakland Raiders, I just keep saying Oakland. I think the Vegas Raiders are going to be pretty opportunistic for so my take on it was that I think the league opinion on Justin Fields is lower than I think like fan opinion. Mm-hmm. I think the Minshew contract was because they view him as a bridge guy. I think they're going to probably go for like a Penix or something early. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Michael Penix goes to the Raiders at 13. Like, it really wouldn't shock me one bit. If McCarthy falls, maybe. But I think they wanted like a really good bridge. Like if you're trading for Justin Fields, it's the idea that you're investing in him, right? Like it's the idea, like, you know, you're viewing him as like a next, like a guy that you would build around. So, but he did get Gardner Minshew did get a big contract though.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of understand why some teams were leery of him, but he also did not play terrible last year. I mean, if you look at, there was a stat that I saw, I think it was like the last 10 games of the season. He was not far off of what Lamar Jackson was doing. And I think the way that the season started for him was so bad, but then again, that whole team was so bad that ultimately it didn't matter what he did. And again, he's throwing to guys like Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet. Like there are some real nobodies on that team. And it's nice to see.
I mean, DJ Moore.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're the one really good guy on that team.
I think Cole Kmet's good, by the way. I think he's actually quite good. He was a fantasy. He was a fantasy darling for me. I don't know where to go with Justin Fields, man. Like I sometimes see stuff that I'm like, oh man, it's so good. And then I see some stuff that makes me like kind of go, man, I don't know if he's like fixable. And like, cause there's definitely issues with his game, but like, I don't know. I feel like somebody would have made a pretty big move if that was the case. Like, I don't know. Like I'm like a lot of Bears fans, man, are really mad about this. And I just don't understand it. Like
they're mad because they traded him away or they didn't get enough for him.
It's both. It's that the rejection of Caleb Williams and it's the like embrace of Justin Fields. And then on top of that, the fact that they gave Justin Fields away for essentially nothing is what they really hate. And I'm just like, I never really like, I mean, I like Justin Fields a lot, but like, I just don't know if I view him the same way as like, I think some of the, and like, I mean, it's typical fanship, but like you're acting like they traded away Peyton Manning in his prime. Like, mm-hmm. I don't get it. So
I think a lot of that just has to do with, I mean, the guy, as soon as he got to that team, he was pretty much running for his life the whole time. And they didn't really provide him with a ton to show, like, any kind of real growth there. Yeah. It's not really fair to him in that perspective, just given... I mean, this is also kind of the curse of just, like... we talked about this last week. Like, defensive coaches that don't care about offense. And they're like... We want to be real conservative. We're going to win these games on defense. And like, okay, well, you're bad at all of the things that you do, and you've not paid any attention to supporting the guys that are going to score points for you. So
right.
I can understand their frustration as a fan base, because I think, you know, there's definitely talent there, and it's whether somebody can find the way to unlock it and just make him be more patient. I mean, we've seen guys like Josh Allen come into the league as absolute mess and be able to grow and evolve because that team was trying to help him grow and evolve.
I think it's just funny to me because it's like I've never seen a fan base get so mad about the fact that they're going to end up walking away with a guy who's arguably maybe one of the best quarterback prospects in the last 10 years. Like, maybe 20 years.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think the concern, maybe I'm overthinking this. I think the concern from their perspective is like, this will be the third quarterback we've drafted in the top 10.
Yeah.
That we are trusting this entire team to.
Well, this is Ryan Poles, though, first crack at it though, because yeah. Ryan Poles inherited Justin Fields. He didn't draft Justin Fields. So I understand that, like, I understand where they're coming from, but also like this is literally the same thing with Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I said it back then. I said, even if Zach Wilson is not necessarily good, it's still the right move for the Jets to make this move. because the problem is if you can't predict that you're going to be in this spot again, right? You can't predict that you're going to be in the top 10, the number one pick of all fucking things, right? You can't predict that you're going to be in this situation again. So you have to act as though that this is your one shot. Now, the problem also is that Justin Fields, going into his fourth year, you have to decide on his fifth year option. It's going to get expensive, right? So you have to, like, it's resetting the quarterback clock. You're now on with this team. You're going to inherit Caleb Williams, and he's going to be cheaper than Justin Fields is. And then on top of that, now you also get 4 years of him at a cheap salary. And then the fifth year option, which, you know, if he's good enough, you're not even going to see. You're just going to give him the extension. But, like, this is resetting the quarterback clock and allowing Chicago to now kind of spend money on going getting Keenan Allen, right?
Right.
Giving DJ Moore that big contract, maybe going out and getting some, you know, big-time defenders, like paying Jalen Johnson, which was part of it. Otherwise, the situation becomes a lot more complicated when you have to pay Justin Fields. And if he doesn't take that next step, or if worse, he looks better next year, you give him the big fat contract for $200 million, and then he reverts back, kind of like what happened with Daniel Jones. They're insulating themselves, and I think it's the smart thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's you and I both know, and everybody else knows, that the NFL is, like, risk averse when it comes to players.
Always. Always.
So ultimately, they're going to do with whatever they can do to minimize any kind of risk on their end. Can you get a prediction on, like, last game of the season? Or let's do this. Like, week 9 of the NFL season, who's starting games for the Steelers?
It's tough because I would like to see their schedule to see how, like, front-loaded it is or back-loaded it is as far as, like, difficulty. I think Russ is going to be pretty good like he was last year. But I think with trading away Deontay Johnson, very weird to me. I mean, I guess Pittsburgh does have a history of knowing when to cut loose on wide receivers, you know, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. But, and I know Deontay Johnson had some behavioral stuff this past year. He was, like, not running routes and stuff. But, like, really just throwing it all on George Pickens is something else. But I think that Russ is going to play well, but the team will struggle. So I think Justin Fields will be starting.
Yeah, I would concur with you. And if it's, like, a straight up, like, QB battle for who's starting the season,
yeah,
you could probably go with the steady hand and Russell Wilson. And then ultimately, I don't know if they've done enough to make themselves, like, competitive in that division, like, to the level that they're supposed to be. I don't know how much of the problems that they had last year was just solely on the offense. But I mean, you said it, like, George Pickens is not exactly the guy you want to be relying solely on. Cause I had him on my fantasy team last year and he had, like, 2 good games, and that was because he got benched. So
that one game you were facing me, and he literally fucking torched, man. He torched. Like, he was the first touchdown of the game. I think he had 3 total. It's just disgusting. And that's the funny thing about Pickens is that, like, I watched a lot of him at Georgia, and I was like, man, this guy's got dominance to him. But then he went in the second round. I was kind of surprised by that. But then you realize, like, it's the taking plays off. It's taking games off. And not if he's not completely happy, you know, he's not going to play happy. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Real quick on Kenny Pickett.
God.
Apparently, the words that he described were, we decided to go in another direction or part ways or something like that. No, man, you got traded. Like,
yeah,
you didn't have a choice in this.
Yeah, no, I don't. He apparently was, like, the rumors are that he was very angry about, like, the Russell Wilson signing, and, like, that he was gonna, like, he didn't want to compete against him. Philadelphia, though, I don't understand the Eagles' logic. Why trade for Kenny Pickett and not trade for Justin Fields? I mean, maybe Fields didn't want to go there because Hurts is more of an entrenched starter, but I don't get that. But there's apparently a lot of animosity towards Pickett, because apparently he just like straight up didn't want to compete, and he wanted out. So I'm a little surprised that, like, because for a guy like Kenny Pickett, who's really done nothing, and the danger of that 1 year wonder coming out of college, I'm surprised that he took such a hard stance.
Yeah. Last year, 62% completion percentage, 2,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks, 23 sacks. You are competing to be the host at a ground round somewhere, motherfucker.
Welcome to Kenny Pickett's Nissan.
Yeah. I mean, I get that he's the hometown kid, played at Pitt, all those things, but my that man, doesn't matter. Like, you doesn't suck. Matter. Like, yeah. You won a Heisman in a, like, absolute booty year for Heisman Trophy.
Did he win a Heisman?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
That's crazy if Kenny Pickett won a Heisman. Wow, 2021.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, he finished third.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, nominated for a fucking Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 5 years in college. The first 18, 19, and 20 are effectively all of the same numbers.
Yeah, no, it's like 12 touchdowns, 12 interceptions every year. That's why, like, when I remember when he was coming out, I was like, I'm not interested. I'm not interested at all. I'm like, he's already going to be 24 years old coming into the year. So he's an older prospect. He's been in college football forever, and he did not play well at all.
No.
And like then like he had one really good year, and I was like, I don't care, man. Like, just not wowing me with his arm. People were comparing him to Joe Burrow, and I was like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, that's a pretty rocky quarterback class too.
Yeah. It's really fucking bad.
So I mean, he's selling his house to the Pittsburgh area for $2.7 million.
Nice.
Good for him, I guess. But I mean, I don't understand the move to Philadelphia either. Maybe like he's from New Jersey. Maybe they're just like, hey, we can get a Jersey kid.
They seem to be doing that a lot with Saquon and him. Whatever. I mean, again, for me, for us as NFC East fans that are not Philadelphia Eagle fans, it's good for me, because I feel pretty secure that Kenny Pickett is not that guy. So if worst case scenario, if Jalen Hurts goes down and it's Kenny Pickett's show, I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah. Who outside of Jalen Hurts, who else is the quarterback there?
I don't know. I think it's like fucking Nate Sudfeld or some shit.
Hurts, Pickett, Tanner McKee.
Same guy. Stanford. He was at Stanford. Doesn't worry me, doesn't concern me.
Yeah. Tanner McKee is the guy you like are friends with because he's 6'6" and like,
yeah,
he can get shit off of shelves for you. But yeah, Kenny Pickett will never play, and he'll probably be like an 11-year backup in the league.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's good enough to be, I don't even know if he's good enough to be like a backup necessarily. Like, again, like he really didn't show anything to me over that time to really even like show that, like, honestly, he was like worth taking, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't see anything that was worth taking.
Yeah. I just think they kind of got squeezed and they're like, we need to figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. Most likely. But yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely, I honestly feel like the Steelers kind of figured it out and made a good decision. I mean, hiring Arthur Smith, I don't know. Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see on that.
We'll see. But I think that they made a good decision on quarterback for a team, again, that's never going to be picking in the top 10. They found a guy that at least can like drive the car for them a little bit, you know.
And now they have options too, right? Like,
yeah,
they have guys that at least bring different skill sets. And yeah, I mean, Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett are not going to be the ones that take you to the promised land, but no at least way. You have guys that either have talent or have experience that can lead this team for sure where they need to go. At least it's a stopgap year for them. Transitioning over to the NFC East, this also happened after we were done recording, but Sam Howell getting traded to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I actually been kind of wanting to, like, we talked a little bit about it, but we didn't really get super into it. You had mistaken the compensation for a minute, though.
Yeah, I read it wrong. on, like, somebody tweeted it and they put it in like a paragraph form, and I was trying to read it quickly while I was doing something. I was like, oh wow, they're getting a nice chunk of change for this guy. And it was like, no, we got to trade a fourth.
Yeah.
We get a fifth and something else. So,
how do you feel? Like, I want to hear from you how you feel about this overall situation.
I don't want to say that I feel good about it because I liked Sam Howell, but at least we know like what the direction of this team is going to be.
For
like, it's pretty clear they're going to draft a quarterback, and whoever that is going to be remains to be seen. But we know now that Adam Peters has done a really good job of moving on from a lot of the Ron Rivera players. And I'm not discounting Sam Howell in that form, but I think they are making a clear like break in the Ron Rivera regime, Dan Snyder time to now this new ownership group, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, like they're really trying to make this team theirs and they're not waiting like, oh, you know, there are guys on the roster and we'll see. Like Adam Peters in his introductory press conference was like, there are foundational pieces here, but also we have a lot of work to do on the roster. And that's everywhere at this point. So him going to Seattle, I'm also happy for him too, because at least he is going to a team that has some structure. It's not like they're dumping him in like some shit team that like is a mess.
Yeah.
Of all the, like, there are worse places to go than Seattle. There's veteran quarterbacks there. I think the coaching regime there is going to be pretty solid as well. And they've done a pretty good job of bringing in players and rehabilitating their abilities, like Geno Smith being one of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm hopeful for him, but I feel better knowing that this team is moving in a direction where come, you know, right after the Chicago Bears pick their person, somebody from the Washington Commandos is going to come out and draft a quarterback. And again, whoever that is, we'll see, but
do you feel like you have gotten any clues on who it's going to be?
It's so up in the air at this point. I'm trying to like monitor some of the mock drafts and stuff like that, but it's honestly flipping back and forth between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. You shared that tweet with me that the Commandos were going out to talk to JJ McCarthy. Honestly, what harm does it do to talk to him and at least get a read on him?
Yeah.
I don't think they're actually going to make him the second pick.
I'm just going to put it out there that I think there is definitely some stuff going on with like McCarthy. His stock has gone way up, and like I've been watching a lot of him, and I'm going to tell you right now, man, he's way better than you're giving him credit for. Way better. And I think, like, you mentioned a lot of the outside the numbers throwing issues, and I do see that, but I think a lot of that is actually footwork, and a footwork thing that's probably fixable. And I think, like, the reality of this is that, like, I've watched enough of him, and, like, from a guy who can throw the middle of the field, right? And, like, that's one of the big things about Jaden Daniels that I have reservations on is his ability to throw in tight windows in the middle of the field. His ability to throw on the run is elite. His accuracy is elite. And again, playing on an offense that was slowed down, run first, archaic. And that's why I'm like questioning whether or not Harbaugh is going to actually like be a good fit for the Chargers. The fact that he thrived in an offense like that, and all the advanced metrics are telling me that like this kid is real, is the real deal. if he can and also his stats against power five teams and comparably to non-five power five teams, much better actually against better teams. I'm telling you, man, I think he's legit. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's QB3.
Yeah, I want some other team to find that out. I think there is, I think the thing about McCarthy is that there are guys like him that have been used and leveraged as feints in the past. Will Levis being one, Malik Willis being another one.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of hype put into these guys pre-draft, but when the chips are on the table, they fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading an article from Drew McGarry today that he had referenced JJ McCarthy as being a false flag. Every modern draft has main character, one player every team uses to mislead every other team. And I think one of the things that he referenced in here is that teams that are not QB needy they're not high on him. So I think there's also like people seeing
what is he used to reference that though? Teams that don't need a quarterback, you said?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, let me see. I'm just reading through this real quick.
Because, I mean, like, I understand the thought process is that, yes, I think there's always a time in which there's one guy who usually ends up getting kind of boosted a lot more than they probably should. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we kind of already felt like quarterback was going to go 1, 2, 3. Right. Because it's like, it's never happened before, by the way, that we've had that happen, like 1, 2, 3. It's never happened. So it is an interesting thought process that maybe McCarthy is getting buoyed by that because of the quarterback drought. But the reality is that the kid wins at every level. Right.
And like, that does not matter, dude.
It does, though.
AJ McCarron won at every level.
No. It's a component. Tom, it's not.
I thought QB wins were not a QB.
They don't. Stat. No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying here. It's a component of everything, right? Because yes, Patrick Mahomes didn't win shit at Texas Tech, and he's the greatest quarterback maybe ever at this point. Like he might be when everything's all said and done. So it's not everything, but there is something to be said about a 20-year-old kid. He just turned 21 last week. There is something to be said about the ability to win at a big level in college football when you're a 20-year-old kid. When I was a 20-year-old kid, I don't know if I would have been able to handle that and the amount of strife that went on in that team also. It's more of a maturity thing. But that's like a piece. That's like a fourth of it, right? Like a fifth of it. It's literally a little piece. It's like a big puzzle you're putting together. Because the tape has to match, right? And AJ McCarron, guess what? Tape didn't fucking match. But when you watch McCarthy, the arm is better than people give him credit for. And like, let's also take into account that he's probably going to put on 10 to 15 pounds within the first 3 or 4 years of him being in the league, right? Like nutrition, training programs, and things like that. Arm strength gets better in the league, right? Like it's just been proven that that happens, right? Like better mechanics and everything like that. If a team is looking also at some of those times when he sails balls and it's like it's a footwork issue and it's correctable. Well, for a guy who literally dominates the middle of the field, if you can clean up some of the outside the numbers stuff, you're getting a guy who is like 21 years old, coming off of a national title win, like already showing that he can handle the pressure of that situation, right? And at least be decent. It's a big deal. And like I think people are kind of sleeping on what I think the opposite has happened with McCarthy. I think he was a good quarterback and I think he should have been considered at least as a mid first round pick. And I think the Daniel Jones thing is kind of sticking to him and that people think he's just being buoyed by by the fact that it's draft season, and like now he's almost become more of a meme than anything. Like people just laugh when they hear him because they think he's like Daniel Jones, right? When it's really like, if you actually like take time and actually watch some of his games, he's got the fucking goods. So I'm not surprised at all that he's considered in the top 10 at this point.
And he could end up being really good. I just don't want to use a second overall pick on a guy who did very little in the last two games for a national championship. Like, and I know you're going to roll your eyes at that, but again, like, I don't give a fuck what the offense was. If they don't let you throw the ball at least once in 30
attempts, saying, like, you're saying let, as in like they told him like you don't fucking throw that ball. No, it's a matter.
You think he's changing the calls at the line?
He ran a pro style offense, which is more than you can say.
And he played it like it was in '96.
That's a Harbaugh thing. That's not a him thing. Listen, I think
I get what you're saying. I understand. I get it. I do not want to put a ton of faith in a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience actually having to like be involved in big games. Mm-hmm. Like you can blow the doors off of Bowling Green all you want and throw 1,000 touchdowns against Maryland. That's fine. But in a lot of those big games, he was not involved. And I'm sure that can grow and develop. I'd rather take a guy that has been asked to do more and is prepared and comfortable with that, because, you know, the other guys too, like Drake May, a lot of the same things you said about JJ McCarthy being footwork, a lot of that's his shit too. Like,
I told you Drake May's QB2 for me. And I think I had said that he's closer to QB1 than he is QB3. So like, you don't have to sell me on Drake May. And again, I'm not saying that like I think the Commander should take JJ McCarthy at 2 overall. I just don't think it would be as egregious as I think some people would think, right? Like some people would hear that and would like freak out and go, are you fucking joking? Like this is the biggest, you know, mistake of all time, and like we're gonna go down in draft history. Like, I just don't think it's that way. I think it's a different flavor, right? Like,
I think
it's depending on what you're looking for.
I think for Washington, it is, though, because this is the first like real move of this new ownership group. And do you want to risk it on a guy who, prior to the national championship game, he was a day two pick?
So when you say he was a day two pick, I think that is the league just caught up on him. I think he was a day two pick on
a guy who plays at Michigan.
Yes, because he's surrounded by so many good people that I think, and because that offense really funneled through Blake Corum, and like also the offensive line for Michigan, from what I've been seeing, not as good as advertised, by the way. Like a lot of people were like, oh, he was just buoyed by a good offensive line and a really good running game. And number one, Blake Corum is not going to be a number for, you know, day one or day two pick in this draft.
We're long past days like that.
But like my point being is that I think people anticipated having him as a day two pick and then went back and watched his tape and were like, oh, maybe I made a mistake, and started pushing him up. I don't think he was a riser based on QB need. Because then it would have been Michael Penix, right? We'd be talking about Michael Penix as QB3 or QB4. Because no one was more successful than him outside of McCarthy this year, right? Because of like making it to the national championship. But why aren't people talking about Penix that way? Because they watch the tape and like he's bad with pressure. He was behind one of the best offensive lines in college football. The shoulder injury, the knee injuries, everything like that. Where to Marie McCarthy, he's got pretty much a clean slate. I think it's a personality thing too. I think people don't like the Michigan thing, the Connor Stallion stuff, and him, you know, meditating before games with the cameras there. I think there's like people kind of see him as like, I don't know if it's like a Tom Brady thing, because like, you know, Michigan guys, like they're kind of smug. And like he probably is a little smug, I'm sure. He's a 20-year-old kid, just won a national title. He's gonna let his nuts hang. I mean, like, it's just how it is. And he's clearly very media trained too, and I think that pisses people off too.
Yeah.
So I think the attitude and I think his perception has warped the reality for a lot of people. I'm only going still, down with the ship.
I still think he would be better. Like, I think if he stayed at 11 to Minnesota, that would make more sense to me and would be a better place for him to go, because I think 11 is probably, like, I'm not saying that I'm the arbiter on JJ McCarthy and where he goes, but I think I don't want to experiment with him. I want to take somebody else. But I also think too, like, I don't know if he's like a top 10 guy.
I'm going to put it out there.
Somebody wants him, have him. Like, go get your guy. I just don't think that Washington is going to do that.
I'm going to put it out there now that the Giants can take McCarthy at 6 and I'm comfortable. I would much prefer that we get Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze and then be able to kind of jump back in, but I don't think it's going to happen. Like, the Vikings are clearly ramping up, and that was another thing we didn't talk about. The Vikings make a trade with the Texans and ultimately get another first round pick. And now here we are, and it's like the Vikings are clearly ramping up to try and work their way into the top 3 to get whoever the Commanders don't take it to, and whoever the, you know, Caleb Williams at 1, and then whoever the Commanders take it to. So either McCarthy, Daniels, or May, one of those guys. So how did you I actually think it's pretty smart by Minnesota, because they're kind of in the same situation as Pittsburgh, that they're kind of just too good every year to be in the top 5, and like they have to be aggressive. So I do appreciate their aggressiveness here.
Yeah. I think that the Cardinals or the Chargers are in a perfect spot to trade out.
And Cardinals, definitely, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make an assumption, but is there that much of a separation between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers at this point? Like, is it that much of a separation between those two, or are you also going to be able, are you going to be getting 1,500 yards with Marvin Harrison a year and like 1,250 with Nabers? And is that going to be enough for a team like the Cardinals to be like, nah, man, we got to stay here and get him?
Daniel Jeremiah said that, and like, I believe him, and Dane Brugler has also said it too, that some teams have Nabers Harrison. Sounds crazy, but I see it.
I wanted to mention that to you. And I know that we're kind of way off topic here, but this is honestly more fun to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Jameis Winston went to the Cleveland Browns.
Who cares?
Yay. Mike Williams signed with the Jets, and he's going to blow out his knee week 2.
He had a nice sandwich too. I saw.
Jerry Jeudy is stealing money from the Browns too. Anyway, getting on to like the more important stuff. Do you think it's like throwing teams off that even during Marvin Harrison Jr.'s pro day, he didn't do measurements, he didn't do any kind of routes? Like, granted, he didn't do that at the combine, and he asked teams, like, do you need me to do anything at the pro day? And they're like, no, not really. Like, then why have it?
It's,
do you think
good
that's
for
playing into it?
It's good for interviews. No, because this was way before he decided to not do any of that stuff. This was something that I was like, we were hearing, like, Dane Brugler, I remember, put out a tweet in November was basically saying that like Nabers is going to be, he's a top 3 prospect in this, like, you know, top, at least top 3, top 4 prospect. And that the common weakness, the biggest weakness I've heard from like Nabers is that like he just had the bad luck of being in the same draft as Marvin Harrison. You know, it's not had really nothing to do with anything else. So I don't know. I think you're good with either one, honestly. And like, that's the thing I'm like kind of sticking at here, is that I think both of them are really, really good. And I don't think you're going to be sad at getting either one of them. My point being, though, is that I think Nabers has a certain explosiveness that maybe Marvin Harrison doesn't. But I think it's just pick your flavor. And like, I think the Cardinals aren't going to get, by the way, if Cardinals trade down with Minnesota, they're not getting one of those guys. They're going to have to settle for a Brian Thomas or something later on, you know? But like, that's the funny thing about this draft, though, is that wide receiver 4 or 5 is probably wide receiver 1 in any other year. Like Roma Dunze, who is my wide receiver 3, if he's in this, if he's in last year's class or next year's most likely, he's probably wide receiver 1. But I don't think it's crazy, though, that people have neighbors over Harrison, because like, it's close. It's super fucking close. But like, neighbors is fucking special, man. He really is.
Did you see Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft? He's got Minnesota trading up to 4, getting McCarthy.
Yeah.
And the Jets going to 5 to get Marvin Harrison.
It makes sense.
It's totally possible. And frankly, they should. Like, because if you're going to rely on, I mean, Garrett Wilson is fantastic. But Mike Williams, like, it's a ticking time bomb.
He's coming off the ACL too, so we don't even know what he's going to be. We don't even know when he's going to be ready.
Yeah, but I mean, every other year he's been hurt too. So it's not like you're getting a consistent guy who just got hurt one year. You're getting a guy who's been chronically injured. And then Malik Nabers goes to the Giants at 6, which it's pretty good.
pretty good. I think it's a good move if the Jets can pull it off. And the Chargers have been kind of pushing it out there. I wouldn't be shocked if this is all misinformation. I don't know what the Chargers' plan is. But, like, the reality is, too, that they've been definitely pushing it out there that they are, like, they trade Keenan Allen. They let, you know, Mike Williams leaves. And they don't, like, who do they have at wide receiver right now? I feel like they're gonna call you Quentin in a week.
Johnston, baby.
Oh, God.
Breakout year coming up. Inbound.
No, I'm not interested. Like, you know, but I mean, then again, like, Harbaugh runs the ball at a warming rate. He hires Greg Roman as an offensive assistant, offensive coordinator.
Getting the whole team back together.
That team's gonna run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So they're signaling that they want a wide receiver right now, but it feels like one of those things where they'd be like, it could be just like trying to sell you the idea that they want a wide receiver. So I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden they become available and then like the Jets swoop in, because the Jets are in one of those situations, man. They really need this to work with Rodgers.
Yeah.
They really need it to fucking work. So instead of settling for like, because I think Adunze wouldn't get past 9, right? Because like, I think if the Bears have a pick at 9, then Adunze is going to probably be like, that's probably his 4.
That'd be a nice place for him too.
Great. I mean, imagine DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Adunze. That's a scary fucking like walk-in for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and some decent running backs too. I think they put some money into the offensive line as well. So I mean,
if well, the kid they took last year,
if only Justin Williams or Justin Fields had that kind of shit happen to him.
But I mean, there's clearly, I mean, Caleb Williams is way better than Justin Fields. Like, I mean,
oh, for
like,
sure.
There's no way I wouldn't take that guy over it, but. But no, but I mean, like, it's pretty impressive what they've done. I have to give Ryan Poles his flowers. And also Darnell Wright last year, they, you know, a lot of people were mad that they took Darnell Wright over Jalen Carter. Darnell Wright was very good last year. So they might have found themselves a real potential left tackle candidate. So it's an important thing. They are building something good there. But I'm not Eberflus, though. I don't know, man. Like,
they missed their opportunity to let him go and start over.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been good to rip the Band-Aid off and maybe just, you know, get somebody different. But I don't know. It just feels too late at this point that, like, now next year you'd have to, like, reintroduce. Like, you just have to hope that he's a good coach and that your offense can run despite, you know, having a defensive head coach. So,
yeah, I mean, they have a new offensive coordinator, right? They fired the guy who was the Packers, like, quarterbacks coach from last year. They brought somebody new in.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I was just looking through all of these mock drafts on Sporting News. They have Mel Kiper's. He has Washington picking Daniel Jeremiah. He has Washington picking Drake May. Todd McShay, Drake May. And I saw Dane Brugler's floating around Drake May too. So, I mean,
it's been kind of like no one really knows where they're going right now, and I think that's the interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with either, to be honest with you. It's just like I think they're going to have to be more intentional with Jaden Daniels to make sure he doesn't take a zillion sacks.
Yeah, because like that was another thing about McCarthy that I saw was like there's people who actually chart these like. I forgot what it's exactly called, but it's like time to sack. It's like basically charting how often are sacks going to be counted against the quarterback rather than the offensive line. It's basically like how long they hold the ball. And like Sam Howell was, I think the reason why he went kind of later was because he over the last few years, he's one of the higher ones, but McCarthy gets the ball out of his hand very well. So like, but Daniels, like, I think there's sometimes like he kind of holds on to the ball a little too long. Takes unnecessary sacks, and again, like the cartoon character hits sometimes.
Oh yeah,
just so funny. I like Daniels. I just think that there's questions about him being able to kind of rip the ball in the middle of the field that I think have to get solved. But he brings such a different element, though, that like the athleticism. He's got a great arm, and he's really experienced too. Like, I mean, he's been in college for a long time, so you're not worried about that. He's over, especially over the last 2 years, he's shown a lot. So like, he's not a 1 year wonder or anything like that. He showed talent at Arizona State, but that team, it's Arizona State. They're garbage. So like, he really didn't have even really have a chance. So, but.
And he trended up the last 2 years too. And
yeah, you know, for sure.
Williams and May had good junior years or sophomore years, but last year was a little bit of a regression for both. And he's the one that ticked up in terms of performance, which doesn't necessarily say everything, but at least it put him in the conversation.
I've been adamant though that Drake May is my QB2, and like it's not particularly that close for me either. But like it's tough, man. Between McCarthy and Daniels, I'm not really sure where I kind of stand right now.
I think it just comes down to scheme. Like, what's the
I can see why the Commanders would like him though, because again, like I talked about with Adam Peters, like he just was in like a situation with, you know, trading up for Trey Lance and getting a guy who was clearly inexperienced and clearly wasn't like ready for to be like thrown into the mix. And you know, I don't think Trey Lance's story has been officially written yet. You know, I think he's still got time to prove himself, and being in Dallas is not the worst place in the world to be, sitting behind Dak. But I think if anything, Peters might, if it's a tie, he might lean towards the more experienced candidate, which was Daniels.
Yeah. Yeah. Jumping back here to the, what the Cleveland Browns have been doing. I want to touch on this a little bit because I know we're running short on time.
Yeah.
They signed Jameis Winston. Great for him. Mm-hmm. Love that for him.
Yep.
That is going to be the most interesting quarterback room in the NFL.
Pray for Dorian Thomas Robinson, man.
Yeah,
pray.
Get him out of there as pray fast as possible. Pray for DTR, man. But Jerry Jeudy getting traded to the Browns and then immediately getting signed to like effectively a $100 million deal, right?
Jesus Christ.
I do not understand what that team is doing. And I like Jerry Jeudy. Don't get me wrong. Like I had high hopes for him when he was with Denver. I liked him in college, but he has just like his career year was 2022 with 972 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And last year, Russell Wilson was better and his numbers were worse. And he played one more game.
So I really don't understand the move, because when they traded for Jerry Jeudy, I said, oh, it's a good move. You know, you gave up what, a fourth rounder and a sixth rounder, you know, for a guy who was a first round pick and still has talent. Like, he's clearly very talented. He's just not, like, you know, he just hasn't put it all together. So I said, it's a good move. Like, you're taking a chance on a guy, and if it doesn't work out, you have no financial commitment to him. You can move on, and it doesn't cost you anything. And, like, you know, you need to bring options around there. So having Cooper and having Jerry Jeudy, like, just gives Deshaun Watson at least a fighting chance, right? But then they all of a sudden they offer him a 3-year deal worth $58 million with $41 million guaranteed. So essentially, you know, it's 20 million per year, and you guaranteed 2 years of it. It's like, I've never seen a team throw more guaranteed money away than fucking the Cleveland Browns. Like, anytime you think that they can make a worse contract, they fucking do it, man. I don't understand the move. You taking a huge shot on a guy who has just done really nothing. Like, just, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't get it. I still like Jerry Jeudy, but, like, and they got a discount on him, but, like, they really fucked up and they should have just left it alone.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lovely collection of Alabama receivers and SEC receivers now. By the way, Tyler Huntley is also on this. Yeah. Tyler Huntley's also on this team too. That poor Snoop? Man. Yeah.
Oh, Snoop. They said, oh, wow. So that's a pretty big QB room, because, like, I imagine that they like Dorian Thompson Robinson a lot. So now you have one of those guys is not going to make it, clearly. Yeah. So
I can't imagine them carrying four guys.
No, no way.
But Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, David Njoku, like, they are really hoping this works with Deshaun Watson. Like, they have essentially, like, put out, this is, like, the best offense that we're going to be able to put together. So you have to figure it out now. The trouble is, though, is that that ultimatum effectively, like, we're giving you the best shot to win, really won't matter, because they can't cut him. They can't get rid of him.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, we talked about it, right? That this is going to be the only time you ever see that kind of contract. You're never going to see that shit again. Like, yeah, never.
He killed it for everybody.
He literally, like, I mean, like, Kirk Cousins, I think Kirk Cousins got it, right? Like, a 3-year fully guaranteed, but, like, it was not, like, 200 plus million, you know. It's fucking insane, man. For a guy who'd been out of the game for 2 years, I just don't know if I understand the moves that Cleveland makes. Like, they really, really fucking, I give them credit for fucking swinging for the fences. Like, they're like, Andrew Berry is clearly not, like, going to, he's going down fighting.
Yeah.
And, like, they're good. That's the funniest thing about it, is, like, Stefanski is a good coach, and, like, that team is good. But, like, I just, you're clearly bound to Deshaun Watson for the next few years, and, like, he does not look right to me. So
yeah, there's no zip on the ball that he throws.
None.
There's just nothing there that, like, pops. And I mean, I think they're preparing for, like, another season where he gets shut down midway through, because there's just something not right about him.
He didn't look right from the minute he stepped on the field. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was very much, very apparent, like, oh, 2019, you know, 2019, Deshaun Watson is not walking through the door anytime soon. So,
no.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem for them. And they, you know, they had a good, really good backup quarterback, and now he's gone. So it's, Jacoby Brissett. So they really need one of these guys to end up working out. So,
could they have kept Flacco, though?
I imagine so. I don't know why necessarily he was gone. I think maybe they just were moving on. But, like, yeah, I'm a little surprised by it, honestly.
I'm wondering if it has, like, I'm wondering if it has a lot to do with he came in and immediately was gangbusters, right? Like he came in and that team started to win and they went into the playoffs, right?
They lost in the
wild card round.
They were favorites too.
Yeah.
It was the Houston Texans that won.
That's what it was. I'm wondering if they just looked at it and be like, look, Joe, we love you here, but we can't keep you because we need to make this work with Deshaun. And I mean, in any other case, like if this was a team that didn't have a quarterback or had like a rookie quarterback that was struggling and then got hurt and then Flacco came in, like he'd be on the team next year. So I'm wondering if it has a lot to do with that. And then they sign Jameis Winston. And what happens if, you know, we get this 2.0 and Jameis comes out and eats a dub, a couple of them.
Eat a couple of dubs, my friend. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's such a weird combination. I really, like I said, I want to be a fly on the wall of that fucking room, man, just to see what they talk about in there. Because it's going to be absolutely batshit insane.
Yeah, it's to be like the quality-ish, like the quality control, like intern on that team who's like a year out of college and is just sitting in the back of the quarterback room, like making sure that everyone has like a pen or something like that. And Jameis is there talking about whatever Jameis talks about. And
he's going to bring in one of those pencils. Jameis Winston's going to pull him.
The super like, long one.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
He's got the giant block of rubber for the eraser.
He's got the, like the smelling markers. He's like, this one's grape. This one's cherry.
This one doesn't smell like anything. It actually fumes, but I like this one a lot.
This is just a Sharpie, but I like it.
Deshaun Watson brings his lunch into the QB room, and it's just like the lunch that Macaulay Culkin had in Uncle Buck.
Oh, my God. It's just like a giant pickle.
It's a pickle in a plastic bag. A mason jar of warm milk.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
I think we can leave that there. What do you think, you?
Yeah, I like it, man. I think we ended on a good note there.
Okay. So for all of those who are making their lunch tonight for their work day tomorrow, don't forget your giant whole pickle and you put it in a plastic Ziploc bag and your mason jar of warm milk. This is Playbreakers Podcast. We appreciate y'all coming in and listening this week. We will be back next week, and hopefully we can get back on the divisional round train, and there's not a lot of free agent moves and trades that we need to talk about. If you liked what you heard here and want to learn more about pickles and plastic bags or what the QB room for the Cleveland Browns is going to be like next year, you can do us a favor and like and subscribe on our social medias, as well as telling your friends about this show as well. We'd love to hear from all of you what we want to talk about or what you want us to talk about. And ultimately, give us some topics and give us some situations. Who do you think the Washington Commanders are going to take in with the second pick? Send us some mock drafts. Let us talk about those. And again, we want to make this show for you. So give us some ideas and we'll make it happen. But we will see you next week.
Yeah, we were talking about also just quickly, we were talking about what team to go over, what division to go over next week. So if anybody has any recommendations, let us know.
Yeah. All righty, folks. We'll see you out there.
Peace.